Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Jed Hoyer will join us during our normal polls position segment.
But that will not derail our baseball conversation.
You sure about that? You sure about that?
How long will I be able to go before I ask him about the ninth overall pick?
How you guys doing?
End it.
If Jed Hoyer had to take over for Ryan Poles for a day, what are you targeting with the ninth pick?
That didn't take long.
Well, certainly he's the one that knows what he's doing. I just said, like, the original trade was so good. I trust him.
I know.
Decision.
But come on, play fantasy football at a high level. Come on now.
My gut always is just build through the lines.
Boring.
But again, it's really boring, but that's, you know, everyone wants skill positions, but you asked my opinion. I gave it to you.
I did. Jed, thank you for dealing with our nonsense.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you.
All right. I bet you Shane and Tanny liked Jed saying he would draft a lineman.
Yeah, it's funny, right? Guy whose opinion you respect universally on everything.
Yeah.
All of a sudden says a smart thing, and what's not right here in this situation?
Yeah, I guess I disagree.
Super boring.
Yeah.
Jed likes to do it. He was digging in on the draft with Chris and I.
Shane and Chris really dig into this draft.
He was?
Yeah. No, we have our consultants. We're not allowed to say who they are.
Oh, sorry.
It wasn't
one of
Jed.
Them is Jed.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
We don't have to disclose that, so we're not going to give that out for anybody.
I love him flatly saying that Bill Belichick could not be a baseball manager.
He's wrong, by the way.
Yeah, he's probably wrong.
I don't think he could do it.
Whatever the motivator is, yeah. Do your job.
He's wrong.
I don't know.
Man Genius, maybe. You can get Man Genie in there.
Yeah.
You hung out with Man Genie, didn't you?
I did. He was at Nick's wedding.
So, you know his name tonight? Man Genius?
It's a judge coach, sweetie. I should go say hello.
He goes to one. Two, three,
and here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go,
Jim. Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
After a few glasses of wine and a few tequilas at Nick's wedding, man, Jeannie was over there by the bar. I was like, said to Steph, like, I should go say hello. What?
He'd like me to go say hello.
Yeah, I think he wants me to go say hello.
He's waiting. He knows I'm here.
She's like, why did you phrase it like that? I'm like, Tanny knows.
Why be married if you can't reference something that your spouse has no idea what you're talking about?
Exactly. Yeah, that 100% happened, Tanny. We were just like, I should go say hello.
That's tremendous.
It was an amazing moment.
So pure insider Sopranos reference just for yourself.
For myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one
That's
else
excellent.
Heard it. I've watched The Sopranos with her, but it was still way too deep of a cut to expect her to get.
See, I was thinking,
like, where's Tanny?
I was thinking that you and Tony were relating on, like, the ego of, like, I think I should say hello, which I would share after a couple of tequilas at a wedding. Be like, you know what? In my line of work, in my spot here, I ought to go say hello to Eric.
I mean, I think Mangini enjoyed enough the conversation. I mean, he's there for 5 hours. He's happy to talk to some people that he doesn't know.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so,
and he's no longer a head coach. He's like, oh, you remember me when I was a head coach?
He's a media schmoozer. So, yeah, we had a fine conversation, but I definitely, I pep talked myself with the Sopranos line of, I should go say hello. And I was very proud of myself. I was just smirking.
But Steph gave you nothing. Steph gave you nothing, which is another reason you should be married to Tanny.
We've thought about it.
You know?
At least I have. Yeah. That's why I tried to get him with gifts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we just don't have the same love language.
You would have green-lighted Pie Oh My going up on a wall somewhere.
100%.
At what time of day do you think you do your most thinking about wishing you were married to Tammy?
Couple tequilas, couple glasses of wine, Eric Mangini in the house. Yeah. I was walking over there. I was like, man, does she really get me?
Shane, it's a good question. What rooms in the house are you in when you're doing most of that thing?
Yeah, it's fine.
We'll get there.
Yeah. I love you, Tanny.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. Thanks. It's good.
No, no problem. Yeah.
Vibes are good.
Yeah.
Vibes are strong around these parts.
Did I make it weird?
I know.
Did I make it weird? But yeah, Jed Hoyer was on. The Cubs continue to win. The Bulls won last night. We will get to the Bulls in a little bit more at length here in just a minute. But before we get into any specifics about the Cubs, he kept saying when we were asking him questions about either spiking the ball on Michael Busch or downgrading Kyle Hendricks, you know, at the time we were talking, he's like, it's just April 15th. It's just April 15th. Too early. You and I always talk about baseball time and sample size.
That's right, because the old Red Sox manager, Joe Morgan, said, baseball time. Right, he taught us a lesson.
Yeah. Question is it also too early to say the 2024 Cubs are resilient?
So far, you have to say they are. 18 games in with all the injuries and everything that's gone on, even just within this road trip, to blow leads multiple times and still come out of the last two series with series wins, series win in Seattle, series win in Arizona, that's a good team. Diamondbacks are a good team, even though they started, you know, somebody in the middle they're not thrilled with, and Brandon Pfaff, and they don't have their closer right now, but everybody's got some stuff. The fact that they came out of there with a split after the ugliness of the Tuesday night loss.
Yeah.
Yeah. And good signs. Good signs on the resiliency. And you will take 11-7. Looking at those first 18 on paper, even with a healthy team, you would have taken 11-7.
Yeah. But so you put a qualifier in there with like so far. And like, of course, so far they are resilient. But like, for a sample size of a player, we would say it has not been enough to say that Michael Busch is a big league hitter, or it's not enough to say that Kyle Hendricks is struggling. And you're right. We 100% would take 11-7 healthy with the schedule. But I find this to be it almost feels like the sample is bigger if I'm attributing a characteristic like that, because it's about overcoming Steele and Tyone and Merriweather and Saya. Yeah. And the road trip and the teams that they're playing on the road trip, difficulty of the schedule and new manager. Like, it feels like a lot has gone against them early.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I guess I'm still burned by the September collapse after 5 months of talking about the metal and the strength and the character of that bunch that rose up. And they were better than their win-loss record by the underlying metrics even before that collapse. And we were looking at it. So I know how long the baseball season is.
Yeah.
So I'm a little hesitant to apply resiliency as an overall thing in terms of the whole season. So that's why I went back to so far.
Okay.
I will say, though, to your point, this manager is so good and so malleable and ready to adjust to whatever he has that it should give fans a lot of hope. Like seeing just, all right, I got Wesneski. Look, he's rolling. Oh yeah. You know what? I'll just stick with him. I'll just keep going and going and going and going the way he did yesterday. That's a piggyback. You know, there's like all these different creative ways that you could deal with a bullpen. And he's got everything in the back pocket. He's down for the opener, which he was part of the beginnings of in 2017. And he's down for the piggyback if it works out that way. He's down for whatever and really getting to know his players and reading his players. And I find that to be an extreme positive that I'm already enjoying.
Yeah, I think so too. We know he's good at it. We know he's smart. We know he is steady. One of his characteristics is he doesn't get too high or too low. I remember we did a show last year later in the season, and you were like, Ross is the kind of guy that would throw over a table spread. I was like, but I don't think that he did. You know, I thought that he would maybe be more like the guy that would set up the bar tab for them on that off day.
Oh, right, I remember that.
In Scottsdale and book some tee times and say, let's go out, blow off some steam together. and we asked Nico about it, and he was like, he didn't flip over a spread, and he didn't do the bar tab thing, but maybe he's a little bit more likely to do the bar tab thing, but I don't know. I don't know that Craig is either.
I don't know that Craig would have to, though, because he's got a pedigree that's a little different. In fact, it's a lot different. Like, everybody just kind of knows the level of respect that he has. You see, Torrey Lovello, before this series began, called Council the best manager in baseball. Just flat out called him that in pregame before the first game of the series. Well, yeah, it's interesting. They picked up the best manager in baseball. Torrey Lovello is pretty damn good at his job, just made the World Series, and he's throwing that around cavalierly. And like anybody in that Cubs clubhouse, Council comes preloaded with gravitas that may mean that it can be smaller moves as opposed to trashing a spread if need be.
Yeah, I think it also might, I'm thinking back to what you said about last year and the September collapse. Obviously, they think that it would not have happened if Council was there instead of Ross. Obviously, mm-hmm. they believe that, and that was a part of the reason why they made the hire, and just the opportunity for the upgrade, not as much about a negative for Ross, but an opportunity to get clearly better. But did they experience as much adversity?
Early?
I mean, Seiya got injured in spring.
Yeah, so they were Seiya-less.
So Seiya, that started early. But I kind of remember it being more smooth.
You know, they had a lot of ugliness early because of the Seiya replacements and what people did in that regard. But they started out hot, right? They started out hot before they made it to Miami and then lost. Remember they got swept at Miami against the Marlins when they were 14-10, and that unleashed a bad stretch at that point. But no,
in terms of
injuries, not quite like this, but expectations were very different as well.
They were lower. I guess I just mean adversity, because great teams will lose to bad teams. You'll have great teams will get swept. You'll play bad baseball for a week. I'm not talking about consistency. I'm talking about like straight up adversity. This team should be 7-11, not 11-7. With what they've faced early, where they've had to play the games, and who they've had to play them against. And they're not. That, to me, bodes really well for if they have a run of good health or a run of good luck or an easier stretch of opponents playing at home. I think it bodes really, really well that they've been able to bounce back after devastating blown lead and devastating injury after devastating injury and keep stacking series wins. I think I'm going to give them that tag of I expect them to be resilient. They might have too many injuries to win, but they don't strike me as a team that's going to roll over here or make excuses about, we just had too many bad things dealt our way, or the schedule was just too tough, or the London trip was just such an inconvenience. Mm-hmm. This team's just, they're tough. They're resilient.
Well, give it to them. I enjoy your passion for them and your belief in that as a calling card, and I do hope it's true. And there are certain things, like the collection of individuals, do lend themselves to that. And that part of that is the manager. Part of that is Bellinger, who looks to have found himself a little bit offensively, at least yesterday, with a home run on the ace swing and then a little poke for another RBI. Our guy Nico, since the Nico game the other night,
yeah,
he went 4-for-5 the night after that.
Yeah, putting him in the top of the leadoff spot.
Yeah.
And he gets 4 hits.
Yeah, 4-for-5 the night after that, and yesterday hit the ball hard a couple of times. How about Christopher Morel defensively with a tremendous road trip?
Yeah.
Even though the offense has completely fallen off the table, and I don't know if the finger injury has anything to do with it, but Morel behaving like he has defensively to heavy praise from Council after the game yesterday, what that does to open up the possibilities and make you feel a little bit better about some things, makes that looming Patrick Wisdom decision that much more interesting.
He's back at Wrigley. I saw him today.
Wisdom is?
Yeah, Wisdom photographed walking into Wrigley today.
We got a corresponding move yet?
No, it was just a fan outside of Wrigley that took a picture of him.
It's interesting. So there'll be a corresponding move, and maybe it's Madrigal. Maybe that now if you can trust Morel a little bit more, then you send Madrigal down and you have Wisdom as a possible defensive replacement and power hitting third baseman. Because I don't think they're going to send Garrett Cooper down. I don't think they're going to send, I mean,
strong,
I guess.
Strong silent type, Tanny.
It could be Canario. You saw Mastroboni play some outfield last night. So maybe it's Canario back down and Mastroboni is your is your bonus outfielder. Him and Talkman are your bonus outfielders without Saya.
A lot of Cubs, a lot of Bulls today, but 1 week from today, Caleb Williams is a Bear. Draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Coby White had a breakout game in a play-in game. Zach LaVine had a breakout game in a play-in game last year. Similarities and differences before Poles position next on the screen.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Put him in the hall. Put him in the Hall of Fame. Parkinson Spiegel to the rack. Count it in a foul. We're going to crank it up
nonstop. Trey Young will put it in play to DeAndre Hunter. Ball game over. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. 131-116. And life remains for the Chicago Bulls.
Going back to Miami.
Get ready. Maybe no Caruso. Certainly no Jimmy Butler. But Coby White with 42, a career high, even though it doesn't count in the official record book.
He said it counts.
Of course it counts.
I'll take it. Yeah, damn right it counts.
It's like Reggie Bush's Heisman. We saw the season. It doesn't matter that he doesn't have the trophy. We saw that game. We'll remember that game.
15 of 21 from the field. That seems good.
He was a badass last night.
Wasn't he? All the driving, the attacking. We're used to Io attacking these days, which is kind of an amazing thing, but Coby was attacking as well, and both of them kicking sometimes as they attacked.
He seemed like he bounced back. Like the last like three games or so of the regular season, he was playing well again, Coby was, and he's the saving grace of the season. No matter how this ends, whether it ends with a win in Miami and a loss to Boston or a loss to Miami, those, I think, are the only two outcomes here. But, whether we have one more game or, what, at most they lose in five to Boston, so maybe we have six more games in the season. The win of the season is going to be Coby White's ascension to a real bona fide NBA upper echelon player, right? Maybe he's not an all-star. Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. It's tough to make that team, but
sure looks like a guy who could be a future all-star.
I agree.
Has worked his ass off on his ball handling and gotten better.
And his opportunity.
Has worked on passing and gotten better. Some Euro stepping, a lot of Euro stepping last night. Obviously, the shooting with the help of Peter Patton. Yeah, it's opportunity.
He was walking out there with his pack of pickled peppers, too. That was kind of weird.
Peter Patton, yeah.
It seemed like it helped him.
I think, but he picked it himself, I believe. You know, and that makes a difference. I don't want Zach LaVine to come back.
That deserved a rim shot.
Thank you.
That's okay.
I don't want Zach LaVine to come back and get in the way of Coby White's continued ascension. I don't want that to happen.
Well.
And I don't see how Zach LaVine fits back into this team in a way that does not hamper Coby White's ascension. I don't see how that's possible, and I hope that we have seen the last of Zach LaVine on the Chicago Bulls.
I don't see how that's possible.
Well, I said I hope.
But sure, right, I know.
Healthy
but
in the offseason, find that trade, find some way to get that done.
How do you show that he's healthy?
It's a good question, Danny.
How do you show that the max contract player is healthy without him playing in the NBA?
Well, you get him involved, and you get him talking to his people at Clutch, and whether it's LeBron or wherever it's another spot, you get them talking and get them involved in a way that they want to help convince everyone that he is healthy. That's how it works these days in the league, as we know. Go ahead and let him work with you to find a trade destination.
Okay, Zach,
we're not interested, and we'll see what happens as it plays out. But like, the way that they play without Zach is a much better brand of team ball offensively and defensively, and the clutch numbers show that, among other things. But the eye test also shows it over and over and over again, man.
I'm not disagreeing with you. There's a practicality, though, to what you're saying idealistically, and the two are oil and water. When Zach came back before he re-injured himself, he was trying to be deferential and play more within the team concept, at times to his detriment. He was passing up open threes, and it's like, come on, man, you should be able to hit those. Mm-hmm. So he was trying to figure it out. But that was an audition. And then he got hurt again. Zach is not going to be here for the duration of his contract, but he's going to need to play. But I honestly feel like that is sullying the Coby White experience from last night. Like, Coby White deserves the shine.
I don't mean to sully, Danny. Look, I am not a sullier, okay?
I know, but I'm just saying.
Like, let the man shine. I'm fine to live in the shine. I just want the shine to have an opportunity to continue. I want it to gleam into next season and beyond.
Well, it will gleam on Friday.
I think it will.
It will maybe gleam against Boston.
Gleam is what I was going for.
Gleam, whatever. Point is this.
What's the point?
Zach ain't coming back this year.
Yeah, he isn't.
Most likely he'll be back next year, but that can be a problem for another day.
Okay, well, let's focus on this day then, because I hear you. I don't want to be a sullier. You're a scoffer. I don't know what my signature move is. I certainly don't want it to be sullying.
Dad jokes.
Well, I'll make some more.
You're very punny.
I'm thinking about my Uncle Sully. In fact, as we talk about Sully, gee, you fat. You want some candy?
Control yourself.
I can't. Control yourself. I refuse to. Yeah, thank you. That was true. It's true, Krusty. It's what he said. You don't have to groan. It's just my life. So here's the thing. You remember how they lost last year against Miami? They had a lead for a lot of that game. They were playing well. Zach was 6-for-20 and made a big pile of questionable shots and decisions down the stretch, because that's part of his game.
Yeah.
And they're not going to make those kind of decisions down the stretch of this game. I suspect they're going to win that game. Yes, no Jimmy Butler makes it a lot easier.
Makes it a lot easier.
I know, but they do. But that Heat culture, man, it's a thing. I mean, maybe Caleb Martin is going to rise up and
oh, they could lose.
Oh, they could.
They could definitely lose.
But it's no coincidence how much better they have been in the clutch and in late game situations without Zach. And I suspect that will continue as I continue to pick them to come out of the play-in tournament and be granted the opportunity to lose to the Celtics.
I was glad to see Coby White get that shine. He deserved it, even if it's just play-in game shine. But afterwards, he was talking like he kind of knew that it was an arrival moment.
Do you remember what you said about Jalen Brunson about 8 days ago? What you called him?
Yeah, I said he a mother.
Do you think the guys?
That's what I said.
Do you think the guys in that opposing locker room will be saying the same thing about you right now?
I hope so. I mean, I don't know. I hope so. But like I said, I'm just grateful. So I don't know what they're saying, but I hope so.
It felt like a playoff crowd, you know, play-in, playoff. It felt like that kind of crowd. And would you consider this your career high, even though play-in stats don't count?
I mean, it was a dope feeling. It was a dope moment for that to happen. I'm thankful for the fans. It felt like a playoff vibe. Like, the place is rocking tonight, and I'm definitely counting that as my career high. And so, I mean, it's on the stat sheet right here, so.
Oh, man.
Hell yeah, man.
That's what I said.
Do you think the guys?
That's what I said.
Oh, Daryl Drake. He lives forever. Oh, the score.
That's what I said.
Johnny's doing fine. This interview is over. Oh, man. Yeah, no, let's bask. Bask in the Coby Whiteness of it all.
I just said.
It's delightful.
It's a player development win.
It is.
Because think about the guys that have been drafted seventh in that run of seventh picks. Wendell Carter, elsewhere. Lowry Markkanen, flourishing elsewhere. Coby White, Patrick Williams, drafted fourth, never materializing here. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. The injury was real tough. But, like, Coby White, that is a player development win for the Bulls. Drafted. He'll sign another contract here. He's going to be a top three player on their team for the foreseeable future.
They got two more years of Coby White. He signed a three-year, $36 million deal.
Yes.
Folks, that is a crazy bargain.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Io DeSumo, two more years of Io. He signed a three-year, $21 million deal.
I think that Coby White should win most improved player.
So do I.
I don't like that there's no definition on how that award is done because...
And Tyrese Maxey was already a good player.
That's what I'm saying. And Maxey's the heavy favorite. But when Ja Morant won that award, I feel like it really disrupts things. So it's the type of thing that for me is... I hope he gets that recognition because that will force some good discussion around him and a positive national thing for the Bulls and all of that. But that's the spirit of the Most Improved Player Award. not you were a very, very good player, and then you upped it a few more points per game.
Hey, man, I agree. I will be spending much of my NBA offseason, as always, looking for comparable salaries in trades for Zach LaVine.
Were you interested in a Trae Young for Zach LaVine straight up?
I'm not interested in that.
It's identical contracts.
Yeah. Not interested.
Well, you're not going to get a better player than Trae Young for Zach LaVine.
That's fine. I would have taken less. I regret not taking, if it was even out there, to get Rui Hachimura and D'Angelo Russell, who has had a big-time resurgence after the deadline. I regret not taking that, if that was out there earlier on in the year.
So, for polls position, something was posited by Brad Biggs that we want to get to. We got a local comedian coming in 25 minutes, and we can kind of go through some of the other... It's like a notes column, basically. There's a lot of notes out there on the Bears. I'll throw some at you, and we can respond for polls position. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.